Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a well-known verse of Scripture. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. To trust in something or someone can either be a good choice or it can be a bad choice. I know as a parent of a 6-year-old, I'm always harping on it, my young son, make good choices. Make good choices with who you play with. Make good choices with who you spend time with. Make good choices in school. And of course, at the heart of that, there needs to be wisdom, doesn't there? Because at times we do make bad choices. Even as adults, sometimes we make bad choices. And of course, it can cost and cause all sorts of problems. As I look at Isaiah 7, I see the theme of trust. I also see a lack of wisdom. I also see bad choices and bad decisions being made. We can read about a king called King Ahaz, and he's mentioned here in Isaiah 7, but we also read about him in the Kings, 2 Kings chapter 16. This king was involved in erecting shrines to false gods. He was into human sacrifice. And he had no love for God. But in Isaiah 7 here, Isaiah is told to go and to speak to this man. Now, Isaiah lived in Jerusalem, as you know. And he was married and he had 2 sons. And Isaiah and his family had access to the nation's leaders. And what is happening here in Isaiah 7 is that King Ahaz is confronted with a struggle. He's confronted with a struggle with allied forces of northern Israel and Syria. And since it looked like the southern kingdom would lose, the people began to wonder if they could survive this battle. And so it's quite clear as you read through the verses, and you certainly get the vibes about what's going on in Jerusalem, people are afraid. People are looking for reassurance, no doubt. And there is no doubt that King Ahaz is taking this threat from the allied forces very, very seriously. Notice verse 3 in Isaiah 7. We read these words. When you look at verse 3 of Isaiah 7, look at the end of that verse. He's at some sort of water reservoir. He's at some sort of water supply. Now the question is, what is King Ahaz doing there? Why is he standing at this water supply? I think it's quite clear this morning that this man is preparing for a siege. He's taking this threat really, really seriously. And he is making plans. He's checking the water supply, which to you and I seems like a smart thing to do, doesn't it? But you know, friends, should this be the case? Or should this be the response of someone from the house of David? In verse 4 of Isaiah 7, God wants Isaiah to make it very, very clear to Ahaz that the king is not to fear. He's not to be faint-hearted. He's not to take this threat seriously. And the reason God is saying this, well, look at verse 7. What does God say in verse 7? Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And this was the message that Isaiah was giving King Ahaz. Don't worry. This threat will not come to pass. Don't worry about it. And not only in verse 7 does God reassure King Ahaz, but again, he makes it clear in verse 11, where he says, ask a sign of me. God is saying, I can bring you comfort from a sign. King Ahaz, ask me for a sign. I'm telling you, Ahaz, don't be fearing these enemies. Don't be getting yourself in a panic. Don't be worrying about this situation. Do you not trust me? Is there a lesson in this for us, friends? As we have entered a new year of 2022, who are we trusting? Who are we looking to in these difficult days? Christian brother, Christian sister, what does 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 say? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. What is our eyes on this morning? Are our eyes on the troubles and the problems of life? Or are our eyes on the Lord this morning? What does Psalm 23 and 5 say? You preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You see, it doesn't matter what enemies surround that table in Psalm 23. It doesn't matter what scares us, believer. It doesn't matter what causes us those sleepless nights. It doesn't matter, believer, this morning in the meeting, what causes us to be anxious. Whatever surrounds that table cannot kill the soul. Because nothing can drag us away, friends. When we are under the shadow of the Lord's wings, we are His. We are the apple of His eye. Of course, many believers go cold in heart. Many at times can walk away from the Lord. But praise God, He doesn't give up on us because He's faithful. He is our refuge. He is our strong tower. Are we trusting Him this morning? Many things no doubt concern us. Many things concern me as well. But are we looking to the Good Shepherd who watches and protects and fights for His sheep? Isn't it wonderful to know, friends, that no enemy of the soul can snatch us out of His hands? I remember a Sunday school teacher many, many years ago saying to me, think of God as your hand and you're the thumb. Try pulling your thumb out. You can't do it. When the Lord saves you, He keeps you. And He helps you. And He encourages you. It's good to be the Lord's children. He takes good care of us. And He looks after us. Friends, have we a good foundation? Do we? Or are we like the chaff that the psalmist talks about? We blow about in the wind. Are we firm this morning? Are we grounded in the Word of God? You see, if you're not firm in your faith, you're not going to be firm at all. You'll just get blown about like chaff. Friends, God's Word is the foundation that we need to be building upon to build our vessels up. Friends, if you are looking for solutions like King Ahaz, if you're trying to plan things out your own way, if you're trying to figure out how to get rid of those enemies before that table, then friends, you're not trusting the Lord. Friends, in verse 12, Isaiah has had his conversation with King Ahaz. But look at King Ahaz's response in verse 12. It's sad, friends. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. What a response. What a statement to come out of the house of David. These people are nowhere with God. Ahaz effectively was saying this, I don't need God. I don't need the God of David. I'm trusting in my own solutions. I'm trusting in my own ideas. And I will not involve God in this issue. Friends, as believers, do we involve God in all situations? Do we? Well, if we don't, we should. Praying about everything. Committing decisions and choices that we make, are we committing them to the Lord before we make them? We should. Ahaz doesn't want to prove God. The attitude is this: why would I place my trust in God and His Word? Why would I place the security and the safety of my people in a God that I cannot see? This was the attitude. This foolish man, by turning his back on God, was going to cause all sorts of problems for the nation. Is he placing his hope and his trust in something other than God was going to have a ripple effect right across the nation. Here we have King Ahaz from the house of David placing his faith in an enemy over God. And what was that going to do? Well, that was going to break the covenant with God. Because as we read in other portions of Scripture, we see that King Ahaz would place his trust in Assyria, which would be catastrophic. He would enter into a covenant with God's enemy. He would break the covenant with God. Now look at verse 11 and verse 13, because I want you to notice something here. We see how things are starting to unfold here. Because in verse 11, the prophet of old is saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. I ask it either in the depths or in the heights above. Okay? But then when King Ahaz makes up his mind who he is trusting in, the prophet Isaiah in verse 13 states this. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Now in my mind, looking at verse 11, and looking at verse 13, it seems quite clear that God is distancing himself from King Ahaz. Because in verse 11, it's your God. And then in verse 13, it's my God. I think that's interesting. God is wiping his hands off King Ahaz, in a way. And friends, how tragic it would be this morning that if you walked out of this service not saved, and that was the last time you heard the Word of God read to you and taught to you. Friends, God loves you today. But you're living under judgment. By going your own way in life, you're under judgment. And maybe this is the last time God will speak to you. Friends, will you come to Him today? Will you repent and come to the Lord? You know, there are many today who are in a lost eternity, who would take another opportunity like this to get saved. Everybody in hell this morning believes in God, let me tell you. And they would love another opportunity. But it's too late. Friends, God loves you today. And He wants you to come to a saving faith. He wants you to repent and come to Him. Friends, will you make a good choice this morning? Will you make a wise choice this morning and repent? Do you know there's one thing that God can't do? Do you know? He can't break a promise. He can't sin. And when the Word of God says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. It's not saying call on Buddha. It's not saying call on the Jehovah Witnesses. Or Muhammad. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Why are you not saved yet? Why do you not come by the way of the cross? This could be your last opportunity to get things right with the Lord. Make good choices. You see, this covenant with Assyria is going to cause chaos and judgment, but it's going to cause deportation. It's going to cause the land to be invaded and occupied. What a disaster! All because Ahaz failed to put his trust in God. All because he failed to listen to the prophet Isaiah. Wrong roads. Bad choices. Not listening to the word of God will send you to hell today. Let's not beat about the bush. This is what the word of God says. And your friends will not keep you out of hell. Reading your Bible, saying your prayers, it doesn't cut it. It's only through asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, calling on His name, Christ alone. You see, friends, bad choices bring judgment. I think I've made that clear. And of course, we know the history, don't we, in this nation? Assyria invaded. We then had the kingdom of Babylon. The Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. Of course, when Jesus was walking in the New Testament, it was the Romans that we read about. They would all occupy Jerusalem and Judah. Trust the Lord today, friends. Make wise choices. You see, friends, whether Ahaz wanted a sign or not, that wouldn't matter. Because God was going to give a future confirmation sign that He has the power to deliver. This sign and message would be performed long after Ahaz died.
And this message would be fulfilled approximately 620 years later. And what was this message? Well, we've read it this morning in verse 14. That therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. The prophecy is fulfilled in the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? For those who shout and roar that there is no God, prophecy was fulfilled. It was written in the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in the New Testament that a baby boy would come into this world. The virgin birth. Jesus was perfect. The Savior of the world. You see, this virgin mentioned in verse 14 is a young, pure, unmarried woman. Unwedded. And although Isaiah doesn't tell us who the woman was, we read in the Gospel of Matthew that the woman was called Mary. And no doubt this was a shock to Mary and Joseph. I'm sure it was hard for them. They weren't married. They were in their betrothal period or engagement period. You see, the way that worked was a marriage was agreed. The legalities were sorted there and then, and so in the eyes of the law you would have been married. But the bride would stay with her household and serve. The groom would be making plans for their home. And after a set time, the groom would go and take his bride and become one household. That's the way engagement worked in those days. And they would have had a feast. And they would have a celebration. And so effectively there was a legal marriage, and then there was a time, I suppose, to help the proving of the purity of the bride. And these arrangements could last up to a year in some cases. See, God told Ahaz back in Isaiah 7 not to fear. But Ahaz did not trust. He made a bad choice. And his actions led to trouble and problems. But here is the opposite. Joseph is told by God not to fear. Joseph was a just man and he did trust God. God would guide and direct and bring him through all of this. Why? Well, in Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, the son of David is mentioned. And you see, Joseph, the son of David, was going to play his part in preparing the groundwork for the great promise and great message that was to follow. You see, this child was going to fulfill another prophecy that Jesus would come from the line of King David. And although the aftermath of King Ahaz's decision would cause the kingship to fall out of the hands of the line of David in Israel, God would not forsake his promise. He wouldn't forget that a ruler would sit on David's throne and would rule. And there's no shadow of doubt that this virgin called Mary gave birth to the Son of God, the light of the world, the Savior of the world, the only virgin-born child to live. The greatest miracle with regards to the virgin birth wasn't the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and the baby being conceived. No. Instead, it was the child born Emmanuel. God is with us.
This child would be God the Son. This child would be the eternal God. This child would take on human nature as well as the divine nature. Why? So that he could die for us and fulfill the prophecy of Scripture. What does John 1:14 says? Talking about Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Prophecy was fulfilled. God's promise to send His one and only Son into the world was fulfilled. Can God be trusted? Yes. And because Jesus came, we can now say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we get saved? Isn't it wonderful when we get saved, friends? That He comes and He dwells amongst us. He comes and He dwells in our lives. Emmanuel fights for us. Emmanuel protects us. Emmanuel wants us to cast everything upon Him because He cares for us. Isn't it wonderful to know that God knows our name? And no matter what we're going through today, friends, no matter what struggles we find ourselves in 2022, He will help us. And He will sustain us. Are we trusting Him today? But you know, friends, in closing this morning, one day the groom will come for His bride. And that will usher in a new experience of God is with us. Oh, what a feast. Oh, what a celebration. When we cross the Jordan, will you be there? When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Jesus came. It happened. He died. That happened. He defeated death and conquered the grave. That happened. He's coming back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you ready to meet Him? Christian, are we trusting Him in the hard times? Are we standing on the Word of God as our foundation? Are we looking to the promises of Scripture in 2022? I trust, friends, as we have looked at Isaiah 7, as we have looked at verse 14 and the meaning behind that, I trust it will encourage our hearts this morning.